2 weeks ago, I began a six-part sermon series on making the vision that God has given our church become a reality. And at that time, I issued a challenge to the church to commit to memory each of these thumbnail proposals, which reflect the values that undergird God's vision for our church. And it's been a long time since many of you have had to memorize anything, but I think it's good that we commit some things to heart from time to time, because that reminds us of how vital these truths that we commit to heart really are. And it then becomes easier for us to commit to words and to deeds what we have hidden in our hearts. One of the techniques that I learned a long time ago as far as memorizing important truths, facts, dates, it's always good to concentrate on the verbs more than the nouns. In fact, let me pass that on. This is free. That will help you in your Bible reading. Pay attention to the verbs. Scripture itself calls us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And so I have found that when it comes to memorizing anything, it always helps to pay close attention to what I'm being called to do. And so worship and follow and sharing and serving and loving and making possible, that's what our vision is all about. We worship God. We follow Jesus, and this morning we consider how absolutely essential it is for us to share Christ. Our choir has already sung for us the text for the morning. It comes from the book of Acts, the first chapter, the 8th verse. You know this passage of Scripture. Many of you know it by heart. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. The mandate from Jesus is to share the good news, and so in obedience to Him, we share Christ. We share Christ. If you've been paying attention to conversation that's taking place in the public sphere, especially as it relates to the intersection of faith and culture, then you have heard an awful lot about the confusion that many people in the public sphere have with respect to those of us who call ourselves evangelicals. It's remarkable to me. People in the culture who are not a part of the church really don't know how to wrap their minds around that term, evangelicals. You would think, particularly for those of us who have grown up in the Bible Belt, for those of us who have grown up in church, the term would be self-explanatory. People who are evangelicals are those who are heralds of the good news of Jesus Christ, which is what the word evangelism really means. It's to tell others good news, and for us who are people of faith, we are excited about telling others the good news of Jesus Christ and the difference that Jesus Christ can make in every person's life. But evidently, that term needs some explanation, even among communities of faith, even among Baptist bodies. Several weeks ago, I picked up my copy of the Alabama Baptist, and I began to read a series of wonderful articles. On the topic, who are the evangelicals? And I thought to myself, pray tell, If Baptists don't know what an evangelical is, we are in serious trouble. An evangelical is simply someone who takes the words of Jesus seriously and who understands that when Jesus gives us a mandate to be about the business of sharing our experience with Him, that is something that we are responsible for doing. It is also something we come to discover once we do it, that it is a magnificent privilege to do so. What a wonderful joy it is to tell others about the difference that Jesus is making in your life. We see that mandate in this passage of Scripture that the choir has sung that I have read from the book of Acts. Jesus is with His disciples. It is prior to His ascension. He is preparing to be taken up into heaven, and as a way of making sure that His disciples understand what His expectations for them are, He offers them those words that for all who know Jesus ring so true: for you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, to the uttermost parts of the earth. What Jesus is saying to the church is that this responsibility to name Jesus in our everyday conversations, that's not an option. You know, that's not something that some of us do and others of us get to ignore. It's not something that Jesus says that we are to do when the mood strikes us. You know, I feel like telling someone else about Jesus today. I hope that's how you feel every day when you take a step out of bed and get ready to go about your day. Jesus is not telling us that it's something that we do when we feel like doing it. It is something that He demands that we do. His words are in the imperative tense. You shall be my witnesses. Which is why I find it surprising, as one person has actually calculated, some might say estimated, that for the average church member, the average church member, choir would be above average, but the average church member has listened to 6,000 sermons. Think about that. And has sung, by this person's estimate, over 20,000 hymns. And Kelly, you broke out some oldies but goldies today. I think I've sung I Love to Tell the Story 20,000 times. Just that one hymn. They have participated in 10,000 Sunday school lessons. Now think about that. 6,000 sermons, 20,000 hymns, 10,000 Sunday school lessons, and have asked zero persons to consider faith in Jesus Christ. Think about that. The average church member has participated in all of these very important and vital activities of the community of faith, and yet it has never moved them to speak with anybody, anywhere, at any time, about faith in Jesus Christ. How can that be? Many years ago, when I was in college, during the summers, I worked for the evangelism department of the Alabama Baptist State Convention, and I would go all across the state preaching youth revivals and doing youth retreats and leading seminars for youth groups on this matter of evangelism. And I can remember even then speaking with young people about this responsibility and privilege to name Jesus and our experience with Jesus. And what I discovered has been proven time and again in the years that I've served as a pastor, that there are three basic reasons why more of us are not speaking with others about our faith in Jesus. There are three basic reasons why we are not sharing Christ. In the first place, a lot of people are afraid. And it's not the fear that you might first imagine. It's not the fear of, oh my goodness, I just can't go up to someone and talk with that person about my faith in Jesus. I'm just afraid to speak with anybody about something so personal. I have social anxiety. No, it's not that at all. We talk with other people about all manner of things, except when it comes to our faith in Jesus, because we are afraid that at some point in the conversation, they might ask us a question that we cannot answer. And because we think we have to know everything, answer every question that any person might have regarding what it means to believe in Jesus, we say nothing. We say nothing because we are afraid. A second reason is because no one has ever taught us how to engage others in spiritual conversations. We simply lack technique. We don't know how to move a conversation to a place where we can speak with others about the difference that Jesus can make. And you should know that as a part of our Vision 2020 plan, we're going to give you an opportunity to learn how to talk with others about your faith in Jesus. But it's a real concern, a very real and valid concern that many people have. I'd love to, but I don't know how to. We're going to help you with that. But the greatest concern that I have is that final reason. People don't share their experience with Jesus because they really don't have an experience with Jesus. We sang, "I love to tell the story," and if you've got a story, you love to tell it. But if you don't have a story, what can you say? And the church roles are filled with people who joined the church because they were expected to, or in some cases pressured to, or in some cases thought that it might be advantageous to them, good for your reputation, good for your business, good for your public image if you joined the church. There are some people who actually joined the church for those sorts of reasons, but at no point did they ever come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, as you think about your own life and your own witness, if you've never spoken with another person about your experience with Jesus, I don't know where you fall on that continuum. I don't know if you're afraid. I don't know if it's a matter of technique. No one's ever taught you. I pray that it's not because you really don't have anything to say. You have no experience to share. I can say that in this passage of Scripture that the choir has sung, that I have read, Jesus gives us the answer to how all of us might be able to rise above any of those concerns, any of those fears, any of those trepidations. What does Jesus say? You shall receive power. The word in the Greek is dynamos, from which we get our English word dynamite. You shall receive that kind of power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. When the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you have a story to tell. And you are ready to tell it with anyone who is willing to listen. Moreover, you don't have to worry about someone asking you a question that you feel compelled to answer. We can debate with one another about theology and doctrine. We do a good job of that, which is why the body of Christ is so divided today. We spend more time talking and debating theology and doctrine than we do sharing our experience with Jesus. No one can debate your story. No one can contradict your testimony. And as far as technique goes, once the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you speak as you are moved. And as God promises through the prophet Isaiah, whenever you speak God's word, it does not return to him null or void. It accomplishes what the Spirit inspires to be accomplished in and through you. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So that Jesus is telling us in this passage of Scripture, the only responsibility you and I have is to tell our stories. We're not responsible for the results. We're responsible only for telling our experience with Jesus. So that it may be that the church has reached a place in time where it is no longer of utmost importance to count conversions, as it is that we have reached a time in the life of the church when what we ought to be counting is conversations. Conversions are important, but if we're not responsible for the results of our conversations, if the only thing for which we are responsible is to name Jesus in our everyday conversations, then we ought to be counting how many conversations we're having with respect to our faith in Jesus. This morning, as we think about how we value sharing Christ, we share Christ at Mountain Brook Baptist Church. I'm going to ask you this morning, as a member of this church, will you commit to being open to having conversations with others about your experience with Jesus? In the Jerusalem where God has placed you, among the people with whom you live, the people with whom you work, the people with whom you play, in that Jerusalem, just in that Jerusalem, will you say, yes, I am willing to have a conversation with someone about how much Jesus means to me and the difference that Jesus is making in my life? And let me tell you what will happen. When you become open to having conversations in your Jerusalem, guess what will take place? Get ready for it. Your world will expand. And it will stagger you at how many opportunities you have to speak the name of Jesus. So that your Jerusalem will grow into a Judea and Samaria. And before you know it, God will be giving you opportunities to name Jesus in places you never dreamed possible. But it just starts with a willingness to herald the good news and share Christ. Some years ago, in a former community, a member of the church asked me to come down. She was the general manager of a car dealership. And she said, "I want you to come down and speak to my sales force." And I said, "Well, what do you want me to say? Do you want me to preach?" She said, No. I just want you to come down and speak with us. Our sales have been sagging and we need some motivation and your different voice." So I went down there. And it was interesting what they did. They were full bore into a campaign that I don't know if my church member came up with it or the big boss came up with it. I don't know who came up with it. But every salesperson was sporting a button, a big button. And do you know what the button read? "I am not a salesman." And I thought, wow, that's strange. Then what are you? That's what I was thinking. I didn't say it. But I did explore it. "Well, you know, Doug, how it goes. You know the reputation that car dealers have and salespersons at car lots. You know, it's high pressure and it's low ethics." And I thought to myself, yeah, I know that. Not the reputation of car dealers, but the reputation that sometimes even Christians have: high pressure, low ethics, too many hypocrites. And so they had decided to sport buttons to allay that perception. "I am not a salesman. I'm your friend. I'm your guide. I'm going to walk with you. I'm your pilgrim through this journey." Somehow, in some way, that campaign seemed to work. The car company did really well. I tell you that story because today we're doing church in a climate where many congregations are running from the evangelical label as fast as they can because of the perception. We're all emotion. We're no reason. We're high pressure. We're hypocritical. We're rigid. We're intolerant. If you're not like us, you're not welcome. And so they're running from that label, but I want you to know that here at Mountain Brook Baptist Church, we are running toward it. We are running toward it with all that we have for this simple reason. Because the only answer to this world's brokenness and confusion lies in the person of the crucified and risen Jesus and the power of His presence among us. We know that because of how we have experienced it in our own lives. And when people in Mountain Brook reach a place in their life's journey that all people eventually get to, "I've reached my limits, I've exhausted my resources, I don't know where to turn," we'll be ready to have a conversation with them. When people approach us to hear about what's making a difference in our lives, in this church, we'll be ready to tell them. because we are a people who are absolutely committed to sharing Christ.